Welcome to Failing Up. We don't have a theme song.
Well, we might not have a theme song, Eden, but we do have a theme, and that is failure.
And we talk to people about their failures and mistakes and how they grew from it.
Simple as that. Listen up. And we're back, Eden, with a new theme song.
So our lovely guest tonight is a ghost.
Yes.
Doesn't exist. No, our guest had an unexpected thing. But we thought we never talk about our own lives.
We
much.
Don't.
And that's we talk about everyone else. Everyone else has a failure, and we rarely talk about our failures. So what a good time to talk about our failures that I'm sure like three people care about, and one of them is your mom.
Yeah, well, my mom's not going to even listen, actually.
And maybe like two guys that stalk me.
Yeah.
So
oh,
maybe
yeah.
This is for them. This is for Guy's mom and the two stalkery guys.
Then they'll know what to talk about in their stalker letters.
Yeah, right? They'll give them some material.
Where do guys stalk you mostly? Would that be Instagram or
no,
Twitter?
No, although I'm sure they do it on Instagram a little, but Twitter for sure.
Okay. And with the open DMs, is that
I don't do
anything?
Open DMs. You fucking kidding me?
I thought because of Failing Up, we did open DMs.
On our actual page.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they go there and ask for me?
Oh, I opened them up on my actual Twitter for Failing Up.
Oh, I don't do it on my Twitter.
And
fuck
then
no.
Recently, I had a tweet that Andy Lassner retweeted, and it was, you know, whatever. It was about white people. And then I started getting a lot of
trolls.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got people telling me I wasn't white because I'm Jewish. And then I got a couple of hateful DMs. I got my first anti-Semitic DM.
Welcome
stop telling people you're white, you're Jewish.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, what? My skin, what color is my skin? And like, really, like, here's what I was thinking.
I don't know. Judaism isn't a race.
I mean, some people will argue it is. Here's what I will say. If I'm in jail and they throw me into jail, who are they throwing me with? Not the black people, not
we
the
talked
Hispanics.
About this.
They're
yeah.
throwing me with the white people.
Okay.
So, I mean, these
well,
people
I,
think they have a...
there are Ethiopian Jews who are black Jews, so you can't
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
So
well, that's what I'm saying. It's not...
That's
it's,
weird. All right.
But there are certain characteristics to, like, European Jews, like, as far as, you know, their cancer rates and certain things that, like, that's why people say it is an ethnicity. I mean, to me, it's a religion, but, like, they say it is an ethnicity because we all have these same, like...
Yeah, but there's like
genes
subsets.
Or traits or whatever. So, oh yeah, somebody else called me a shapeshifter.
What?
Yeah, he said I was a shapeshifter. That's what Jewish people are, we're shapeshifters,
oh,
apparently.
Okay.
And again, and then I had like a right-wing troll, like a right-wing account.
So this is about your failure? How is this a failure?
No, all I'm saying is my DMs are open in case anybody wants to talk.
Mine are not open. I don't want to see what people have to say to me. This is how private I try to be. I have everybody muted that I don't follow, which is why I don't follow a lot of people. I just don't want to. I don't want to see people's like.
Everybody
sometimes I'll check.
You don't follow is muted. Wow. So
yeah.
Your Twitter sometimes could probably be kind of sparse.
It stuff. Is pretty sparse.
Yeah.
But I like it that way because like I don't have to like fill because it's like important to me that my friends because I follow like my friends.
Oh wait,
you know?
Everybody don't follow. Oh yeah, so
I follow
like,
my friends. And
that means
I see
that
my friends.
You don't see retweets.
Not from other people. Unless they're verified, and then I see them in the verified column,
right.
Because I'm a verified idiot.
Okay, so if it's verified and retweeted, you do see that, but if it's not verified, if it's a non-verified person that's a friend of your friend.
I can see if I go on the tweet and I see who retweeted it, I can see it, but I have to do, like, extra work.
Right.
Who has time for this?
Huh.
So I don't see, so I have maybe a few stalkers, which is also why I'm a little nervous. Oh, here's a funny story. I went to my old house that's currently vacant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And, no, well, yeah, because I live here now.
Right.
And I went the other day, and I was honestly, like, I was going to my real estate agent's office, and it's by that area. So I was like, oh, I'll stop by. I have to pick up some forms. And it was really hot, because as it is in the, you know, upper hemisphere.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into my old house and just take a quick shower. I have some towels in my trunk. I feel gross and sweaty and disgusting. I just want to freshen up.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this before. And I go into the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice there's like top ramen in the kitchen and like food. And I'm
oh,
like,
no.
What is this? And then I go into the living room. There's nothing in the living room but a bicycle. A nice bicycle, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like one that I probably had in college that my grandma bought me. And I'm like, someone's here. And then I go in and I go into the master bathroom and there's two people in there just like fucking hanging out.
What?
And I'm like, hello? Excuse me? I don't know. What do you say in a situation like this? I can't believe
all the fucking cops is what I do.
I was so polite. They're like, excuse me. And they just shut the front. They shut the door to the bathroom. And I was just so scared that I just ran out of there. And I called my real estate agent, told her what's going on. She's like, don't worry. I called the cops. So I'm like, I'm a little afraid to be in the area. So I'm just going to park across the street and like watch. Because I'm afraid like they'll see my car or something. Or if they have a weapon. So I park across the street and I like just kind of stake out the house like a stalker. And by the way, the police took 40 minutes. And had I been shot, I would have been dead.
You're done. Yes.
They take forever. And so two cop cars came and they were squatters and they were like, I think drugged out or something. White people, totally Trump supporters, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Like 100%. And oh yeah. And the woman like was dressed kind of nice. And even my real estate agent was like, why was she dressed so nice? And the cops were like, she probably stole it. Huh. Yeah. And
how did they get in? Through your front door that has no lock?
The cops did a sweep and they found a window open.
Okay.
So we think they went through a window. But when they took him out, and the thing is, the cops were like, hey, so you have an option. You can arrest them. Like, it's called like a private arrest. Then we have to take them down to jail. But then you have to be subpoenaed and you might have to go to court. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, that's a lot of work.
Okay.
Can you just take them to jail and I don't want to be involved? And they're like, no, because it's technically just a trespass.
Okay.
So I signed this thing basically saying that if they come again, they can't take them to jail and all this stuff. So basically what all they did was just arrest them, put them in the car for a little bit and then like drive them a couple feet and then let them go.
Right.
And basically that was like, I let them go, which I felt stupid of doing. I was so, you know, I was so mad and like, I was just like, it's, yeah, I was just crazy. And the funny thing is all the cops were not white.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the people that they took in were saying white racial slurs at them.
Oh, really?
And I know. And I was like, I know.
That's a good way to get not in trouble, to be not in trouble, is to continue to just yell racial slurs at cops. I'm sure they love that.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is fascinating, but horrible. But like,
yeah.
Why is this the crazy? And basically, it just affirms my belief that white people are scary.
they are terrifying.
And honestly, so when they left, my real estate, I was scared to even be around there. So I left. And my real estate agent did like looked around the house. And she was like, Eden, they put shit in like your cabinets as if they're living there.
Oh my God.
And like shoes in the closet. And apparently they told the cops that like they're Airbnb-ing it or some shit.
Oh my God.
And they even had ice cream in the fridge. And they didn't have a spoon, but they were I don't know if this is funny or sad. They were eating it with a cone. Like
they were using the cone to scoop out the ice cream?
To eat it. Yeah, it's so weird.
Hmm.
And I should go back there like today and like baby, but like, I don't want to babysit it. And honestly, I'm scared to go back in there.
You need to get like one of those like Ring fucking, you know, they got cameras that you can just put in your house. And it's not that expensive. And then you'll get a notice on your phone. Went ding dong.
Okay. And then what do I do? Call the cops?
Yeah. You can call the cops. Like, hey, somebody just broke into my house. I mean, as opposed to you having to go over and check it.
I'm unemployed, dude. I can't afford just a Ring for a house I don't live in.
Yeah. I mean, that is a costly situation.
See? Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm scared, basically. White people are scary. That's not a failure. That's just something that happened to me that's amusing. And I just want to tell you guys. Also, I've heard this before. If you have like a for sale or for rent sign on your house, people assume it's empty and they'll squat in it.
Oh, smart.
Apparently, the cops told me this happens very often. They say sometimes in like $1 million homes because the people that are like selling it or renting it are like, well, no one's going to come in. This is like $1 million home or whatever. And they want like a nice air conditioned space. They wouldn't go to like a rundown like apartment, like shack. So yeah. So that happened on Friday and I'm recovering and
That was Friday. That was just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know.
That is scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. But anyway. So failures.
Let's talk failure.
Okay. I feel like I've had a pretty awful dating year. I like someone who didn't like me as much back, so that hurt. So that's how I started off the year.
Okay.
So I was like super into like I wanted to get over him, so I just started like dating, like just not dating, like just going on all the apps and like just doing what I call like binge swiping, mm-hmm. where it's like, I'm just going to sit down for like 30 minutes and just go through as much people as I can.
Okay.
And my friend made fun of me. She was like, well, you don't like anyone. She's like, what's the point of this exercise if you're not even swiping right on anyone? Or not, I don't right. swipe. It's not a, it's a different kind of app. So I was like, yeah, good point. So like, I let some of them go, obviously. And here's the thing. And some people like talk to you, but I noticed like I'd have like a couple messages from dudes, but like none of them ask you out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, you mean immediately? Like
I don't like it actually when they ask you out immediately. I really don't like that.
Yeah.
But like, it would just, it gets to a point where it's like, all right, enough like back and forth already. Ask me the fuck out.
Sure.
So that kind of sucks. And, you know, I talked to like some of my guy friends. And I was like, hey, so like, do I need to do the asking now? What's going on? They're like, you can. But whenever I learned last time, I started like insinuating things and it didn't end well. So I was like, I'm not going to do it this
are you,
time.
Are you on Bumble? No, you're on that other one.
I'm on Hinge and I'm on Raya. And okay. Raya is a fucking load of crap. Like, it's just shit. Raya, I've been on, let me think how many dates. One date. From Raya.
Mm-hmm. So that didn't work out, obviously.
No, it was weird. Like, he looked really good on paper. He has an Oscar. He's good looking, talented, but he's such a bummer in person.
So is he an actor?
No, I don't want to say his name. I'm afraid.
No, I don't want names. I'm saying it.
He's not an actor.
Okay.
He's a music composer.
Okay.
He's good looking. He actually is a writer on a lot of shows that I love. So I thought before the date, I was like, this guy's gonna be awesome. And he's just such a bummer. And like, I really wanted to like him. So he's, and I don't know, it just didn't work out. So Raya sucks. No one talks on Raya.
Yeah.
Hinge, I've been on a few dates this year.
What makes Hinge different for viewers at home?
Oh, okay.
Cause like, so Raya,
I like,
is like
Hinge. Raya's for celebrities. And let me just to, celebrities, that's a very loose term for Raya, because Raya, I'm in Raya, I'm not a celebrity. Raya is for creative types.
Yes.
There's this like one called the
but
League.
Exclusive.
There's one called the League, which is for like, if you went to like a Ivy League good school, okay. And I can't go to that because like I dropped out of UCSB. So, and I did like 3 semesters at NYU. So I'm not League material, but like Raya is more like a creative thing. So like you have to be applied. So it's a lot of directors and artists and like CEOs, like the Dollar Shave Club CEO is on there.
Ooh.
Trevor Noah's on there. I saw him on there.
That's kind of cool.
I'm outing him from being on there.
Yeah, hopefully he's not
John
married.
John Cusack's on there.
Okay.
I was curious, so I upped the age range.
Yeah.
And I saw John Cusack and Malcolm Gladwell. We talked about that.
Yeah, like yeah. Would you ever just like swipe right on them? Just like, it's, I mean, it's
I would
John
love
Cusack.
To just talk to Malcolm Gladwell. Just in, like I would swipe right just for conversation. There is also on Raya, which is a cool feature. There's Raya Work,
mm-hmm.
So it's like why if you want to work with someone, which I thought was interesting.
That's kind of cool.
My friend actually got a job from that. So
really,
I'm not using it as a LinkedIn app, but you can.
I mean, but you don't want to deceive Malcolm Gladwell and be like, hey, let's have a date, and then show up and be like, let's talk about Blink.
I know.
My favorite book.
Let's talk about Tipping Point. I love that book. So, yeah, Raya's not great. I'm on Hinge, and I like Hinge because it doesn't feel creepy. You're not swiping. You can. It's not a lot of information like some sites. So it's like a few things that are kind of that you can show that you're witty.
Is it like a Bumble where you have to?
No. It's not like Bumble. Anyone can do it. Yeah, I don't like Bumble. I'm not on Bumble.
Okay,
I thought you were
for a little bit. No.
No, I was on for like a week.
Okay. You don't like the concept.
I don't like the concept of swiping. I don't like Bumble's shit. I also, never heard a good story from Bumble. So Hinge has been pretty good. Hinge is where I met the guy I really liked.
Okay.
So I thought, because of that, I honestly didn't like Hinge until I met someone that I liked. And I was like, all right, maybe there are nice guys on this site.
Yeah.
And I've had 5 or 6 dates this year from Hinge. One of them was really cool. He was a doctor who I thought would actually, before the date, I was like, this isn't going to be good. Which I feel like before every day, I'm like, this isn't going to be good.
You're already judging.
Yeah.
You're judging.
My expectations are on the floor at this point. I thought, oh, he's a doctor. He might not understand me so much, or like, mm-hmm. he might not be funny or very like not good bedside manner or something. But he was really great and funny and awesome. And he went to medical school in Israel.
Okay.
So he could, like, bond about chocolate milks and
sounds
bags.
Good so far.
Yeah, it was really great. I thought I had a good time. He kissed me, not like crazy.
You thought you had a good time.
Yeah.
You had a good time.
I had a good time.
Okay.
But like, then, you know, I didn't really hear. I said, hey, I had fun. He's like, yep, me too. And he's really busy. I knew this, that he works like 5 days a week. And it's like in like Long Beach. He's an ER resident.
Okay.
So he's like on the shift he goes on is from 3 p.m. till midnight.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. So I was like, hey, I had this, like, my friend was doing this show and I thought it would be really cool. And I was like, do you want to go to the show with me on Wednesday or whatever? He's like, oh, that sounds fun, but I'm it's my last week of shifts. So I can't. So I was like, that's cool. And I'm like, all right, well, let me know when you're free, when you're done with your shifts or whatever. And he just never got back to me.
Oh,
so I was kind of bummed. And then since then I've had, I mean, I haven't had like a terrible date,
mm-hmm.
but not ones where I'm like, yep, again. Like that one was the only one, the guy I liked before, which we've had many dates, but then it didn't work out. And then that doctor, I wanted another date, but the rest of the guys I did not.
Old salesman technique, just you should have said to him, what's a better night for you? Right?
Yeah, but I don't want...
and then he could not respond back.
Here's something that my therapist told me, not to get all therapist-y, but like, yeah. If a guy likes you, he'll make the effort.
That's true.
And I agree. And I think that's what happened. I think that was wrong with the other guy that I kind of dated, who now I'm suspecting was just dating someone else and just chose the other person. Mm-hmm. And he liked me too, so he was like not sure what was going on.
He was playing like two people and then
maybe
broke off kind of thing.
Yeah, which sucks. I know, which I feel like a failure because I feel like you were the runner up and like, you didn't make it. Which is, I feel like, a career-wise thing, too. I can't tell you how many meetings I've had where, like, I sent a script in, and then they're like, oh, my God, so-and-so loved your script. They're going to send it to someone higher up. And I'm like, amazing.
Yeah.
They're like, come in for a meeting. I come in for a meeting. They think I'm great. And then, oh, yeah, you know, we're doing another show just like this with someone really famous. Or, like... yeah, so-and-so didn't really warm up to it, or like, we're just not into women, and I don't know, it's like...
They're not into women.
They wouldn't say that, yeah. But it's what they're probably thinking. So it just felt like, oh, shit, I feel like this is happening career-wise and dating-wise, mm-hmm. And then my therapist just recommended I just, like, stop... it was really hurting my ego to go on these dates where I just wasn't feeling the guys, mm-hmm. So I just took, like... time off from even trying, but I don't know. Then I listened to this other podcast that were like, you should go on the apps just to like put yourself out there to the universe.
Right.
When you're trying. So yeah, but I'm not like, that's the thing. I'm not like so desperate. Like I could have gone out with some of these guys again, but I really didn't want to. So I'm just a picky motherfucker.
Well, I mean, picky's all right though.
Yeah. I'm never going to find someone that likes me back. whenever I find someone that I really like, this always happens. Like, I'm just not good enough. Like, yeah.
I mean, is it that you're not good enough?
Or? Yeah, because every guy that I've, like, dated that I liked, that I was into, and that I wanted to go further, ended up dating someone else.
Okay, but why does that make you not good enough?
Because someone else was better than me, so it wasn't good enough.
That makes the other person better than you? But
the maybe, other person they chose, yeah.
Yeah, but why is the person who's making that decision better than you? Like,
they're not better than me. They're just...
They're equals, right? So it's not about you. It's about them at the end of the day.
I know. I know this. But I am a self-deprecating woman, and I will internalize it as a failure on my part that I'm not... I made a mistake. I pushed too much. Mm-hmm. Or I was... I have this problem, too, that I feel like I have too much baggage. Like, oh, yeah. My parents are dead. I had a mastectomy. Why would someone go out with me when they could go out with another, like, you
somebody
know,
with live
cute,
parents.
Cute girl? Because
that's what
live.
I always look for. I'm like, oh, she's really cute. Are her parents alive? Oh, they are. Thank
her
God.
Her tits are real.
Yeah, those are the things I think of first.
I don't know. Because it's like, I'm sure they think I have like psychological problems or some shit, or like that I'm clinically depressed.
I mean, I wouldn't assume any of that just because your parents have passed away or, you know, like...
I know. I went on this date a couple of weeks ago with this guy, and I usually don't talk about my parents being dead.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to. Or my mastectomy.
Yeah.
and on the first date. And then, but he asked about my parents. And then I was like, yeah, they're dead or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, he just asked further. And he's like, I don't know. I felt a little like he was asking too much, where I was like, I don't want to talk about this on a first date. Like, I didn't want to talk about it. I usually do. Like, I don't mind, but he was just asking too much. And I was just like, please don't, I don't want to start like digging into this right now.
Right.
Let's just like try to,
there are weird lines that you don't want. Like I was talking to somebody and they were talking about weight loss, and I'm like, they're like, oh, I lost a lot of weight recently. And I was like, oh, cool. Because I didn't want to say to her, oh, how much weight and what are you doing?
I know, right? Like, I know. It's bad. Yeah.
You just can't, you don't want to cross those lines with people.
Right. Although just in personally, I find most of my friends that have lost parents, not saying hey, they're better than everyone else, but they have really good coping skills for other things. And I find them interesting, and I usually turn to them when I have a problem, because they could just handle things a little differently and efficiently. So I think it does make us a little stronger, us orphans out there.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my dad. I don't consider losing my mom at a young age. Like, it had an effect on me, but I don't think it matured me as much as losing my dad.
Cause yeah.
That meant I was an orphan, and I was only 24 at the time. So I had to like learn like what mortgage payments are and like interest rates and what, like, you know, all these, I didn't even know what a cashier's check was.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, my bank account was pretty new.
Yeah.
Like, I just had a credit card like a year ago, like, you know, and all of a sudden I had to deal with like my dad's quote unquote estate and his bank account and then closing that. And then overdraft fees, because he would really overdraft. and then all this just nonsense of stuff.
Yeah.
And I would have not known that so young had I not had a crash course. And the thing is, I feel like a lot of adults I meet, like 50, 60-year-old people, still don't know how to do half those things.
I guarantee it.
And, I mean, I can't do a lot of, I can't edit a podcast very well. So I can't do a lot of shit. But like, you know, it did, I think it made me a little more independent than most people my age. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like ashamed of it, but I don't know. First dates, I don't mind talking about it, but like, I don't want to like do like a couple, like don't give like 70 follow-up questions. Is what right. I'm saying.
I understand.
Yeah. I don't mind telling people, like, I like telling people about my mastectomy. Cause it's like, if you can't hang with that, then like fuck off,
right.
You know? But anyway, so sorry. I just feel like I've been failing career wise. And, I've had so many meetings for like job interviews and like show stuff, and they're like, just doesn't go anywhere. And like, so like, I feel like just like with the dating thing, like you meet someone you really like and you go on a few dates and it's great. And then you just never hear from them again. And then you see them with like someone else on Instagram.
I mean, that is absolutely depressing. I completely understand, but you know, and it's easy from the other side to say, hey, listen, it's not about, it really isn't about you. It's about that person. When you're on that side, it's like, no, it feels, it's 100% personal. It's about me and I'm a piece of shit. And what did I do wrong? And how can I be different? But like, at the end of the day, it wasn't right. That's the bottom line, right?
Sure.
I mean,
the thing is why I'm so sad is that like, it felt right to me and I usually don't feel that way.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of bummed that like, I'm so picky. So like the fact that I found something, it's like you've got a food allergy and you found something that like you can finally eat and then it's unavailable.
Right. I understand it. I'm on the same level as you. Like good. I'm that person too, where it's not a lot of people that I'm like, wow, I really like this person.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't work out, it feels even more devastating because you're like, but oh, I thought I actually found somebody cool. But I thought they liked me back. Like, what happened here?
I felt so deceived. No, I didn't. I'm fine.
But it does make you rack your brain and go to therapy in general.
Well, I've been not in therapy you, since I'm saying, like, 13. Me,
so yeah.
I'm a big fan of therapy. I think everyone needs it. There's times I go less now, more for financial, because I'm unemployed and I don't want to spend too much money. But like when I don't go long enough, I get really irritable.
Yeah.
And more than anything, I just want to be a burden on my friends. So I don't want to like come to my friends and like complain to them about stuff, where it should be with like my therapist. And my therapist pushes me to do things that I wouldn't have thought of doing, or even like, you know, just relationship stuff. Like, she told me that I didn't know, a couple years ago, that I didn't know how to flirt.
Okay.
And I thought she was crazy. But she was so right. And she, really? Like, taught me how to flirt. Yeah.
She taught you how to flirt.
I know. She's great. I love her.
Really? Because, yeah. Like, I don't feel like my therapist, if he was like, hey, you need to be better at flirting, I don't think he would, like, that would be part of his thing to teach you. I think he'd be like, go to this flirting class, or, you know,
no,
like,
it's not read like this that. Book. I think it's just...
Is there a flirting class?
No, I don't know. No. Here's the weird thing. Like, I was like a dating columnist for Playboy and all this stuff. Like, I should know this shit. But I think it's like those who can't teach do type mm-hmm. of stuff. So, yeah, I think... I don't know. I think that's... therapist is kind of like people to date, too. I think you have to shop around until you find someone you really like.
Yeah.
And I love mine. I've been with her for 10 years, so she, like, really knows me. So, yeah, mm-hmm. she taught me how to flirt. I did not date for most of my 20s. Because, yeah. like, my dad was sick, and then no one wants to date. So, like... Yeah, I'm not, I tell people I'm not good at dating, but the truth is, whenever I hear someone say that, they're just lying. So I don't think I'm not good at dating. I think I'm just not, I'm just picky.
Can a guy meet you not on one of those?
Oh, absolutely. Dating apps? I wish that that happened more often. I used to just meet people that way.
Mm-hmm. But like, what though? Just out in public? Or like, could you meet, have you ever met somebody on Twitter that you hooked up with?
Not hooked up with. I never like okay. met someone from Twitter that I slept with, but I've had dates. Oh, early days of Twitter, I've had like a couple dates. Yeah.
Okay.
Not anymore. I haven't had a date from Twitter in like 4 years or so. Hmm. But like,
what about Instagram?
No, definitely not.
Really?
I don't follow many people on Instagram.
Okay.
I'm not big on Instagram. I'm not like, I don't have a lot of followers on Instagram. I've got like 2,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah. I've had both. Instagram, like Instagram and Twitter, between those two things, they've been more successful than any dating app that I've been on.
I've definitely, here's the good thing about Twitter. I've been on dates from Twitter, and they were not bad dates. Like, I met really interesting, cool people. So, I will say that. I've had, like, bad dates from apps, but I've never had, like, a bad date from Twitter.
Yeah.
But I've got, I don't know. So, anyway, yeah, it's interesting. I really wish, I've been set up, like, you know, not set up, but like I went to a party and I met this guy, and then the host texted me the next day and was like, hey, so-and-so really liked you. Do you want to go out with him? And I liked that. That was like good. Mm-hmm. That's like a good way.
Okay.
That's why I go to.
And so you said yes.
I said yes, but like, and it was fine, but nothing happened.
Did you exchange numbers? Nothing?
Yeah, you exchanged numbers.
Okay.
I have his number. You want to call?
He just hasn't asked you out yet.
No. Should we call
someone? Did you text at all? Like, did you guys talk at all? Or does he just have your number and the ball's in his court? Like, what's the situation?
Oh, that was like 4 years ago. No. He's getting like married, actually.
Oh,
soon.
Okay. So I guess it's
he's
not going to work out.
He's my friend's really good friend from childhood. So, like, I saw him at her wedding and stuff. I was like, gotcha. Remember when we went on that date? And he's like, yeah.
That was 4 years ago.
I was
okay,
like, you asked funny. Me out. I'm a bummer, I guess.
You think you're a bad date or just a bummer as a human?
Both.
No, stop it. You're neither. Come on. I'm sure the answer's neither.
But a lot of my one friend is in a quote unquote open relationship, mm-hmm. which apparently people are doing a lot now. And like, it's, I don't know if it's like a trend or if it's like, this is like, it's like cool now, but I'm not on board.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm in an open relationship with my hand, but
good
otherwise,
one.
I'm going to tweet that one later.
I'm in an open relationship. You know what? I'm not in an open relationship with pizza. I don't want to share that shit. Fuck that. I'm not an open relationship type of person.
With anything?
Yeah. I don't like, why do I live alone? I don't like sharing the fridge. I don't like sharing a living space.
Yeah.
Unless I'm fucking you.
Right. And even like, then, under protest.
Well, I have not lived with a man romantically ever, which I'm only 30, so I guess it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
But like, I've slept over, but like never cohabited for multiple long periods of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I don't know why everyone's in an open relationship because everyone seems to get their feelings hurt.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's not ideal.
But like a lot of people, I've heard this all the time that like, I know like four people that are in open
really?
Relationships, not with themselves, not all each other, but
right.
just different. And it's like, what? Like,
do you think there's long-term success with most open relationships though?
Someone described it to me like this. They were saying how, like, you can love two people at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. you can love, like, that's what family is. But ultimately, you will love someone romantically a little more. That's why I don't like all this.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know if there's success. I think it depends. I think if both of them aren't the same. Here's the thing with relationships. They only work if the two people continuously want the same thing out of the relationship and are getting it. This is from Esther Perel.
Oh, you didn't just make this up. This is not
no.
your book. Okay.
This is a great guys get mating in captivity. If I ever give out good advice, it's because I heard it from her. And she has this like famous thing where she's like, she's got this thick accent and you think she's Israeli or like French, but she's actually Belgian, Jewish, but Belgian, like my dad. So she has this like TED talk and she was talking about open relationships and she's like, aha, I know what you are thinking. You're thinking, oh, she's French. She is pro cheating. In fact, I am not French and I'm not pro cheating. I am Belgian. So she thinks that actually open relationships are not good.
Okay.
And even if that's why she's like, I'm not pro cheating. I'm not pro having many, because ultimately there is a hierarchy and people will get hurt.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll work for like a short term. Like I feel like if you're just starting to date, mm-hmm. maybe that works, but I don't know. If you're like in a committed thing.
But is an open relationship cheating? Like it's not cheating,
it's
right?
It's not cheating, but you know, I feel like ultimately someone's feelings are going to get hurt over time.
I agree.
It's like, you know,
you only have so much love to give.
Yeah. And then I read this other thing that we only like, we have all these like friends and followers all like on social media, but like our capacity of actually having a relationship of some sort, not romantic, just like a like when you text and see, is limited to only 150 people at a time. And that's like the max. So
seems like a lot.
It's a lot.
I have like 6 people, I think. Seven.
But you know people.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
But you, like, if you saw someone, you'd be like, hey, I know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it wouldn't be that weird if you like sent them an email or a text, was what I'm saying.
Right.
So we keep about 150 people in our lives. Like, because think about it, it's also family. It's not just friends. It's like people we work with. But so that's our limit. And then we forget about everyone else.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What? We're messed up.
Yeah, we're really messed up.
Really messed up. Yeah,
I know.
So why do we need 5,000 Facebook friends? We don't.
I don't. That's why I don't really go on Twitter or not Twitter.
I'm gonna unfollow everybody but the most important 150 people.
Dude, you know what I discovered though? You can mute people on Instagram now.
Oh, really?
It is saving my life.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is such a joy.
The people who Instagram like 5, 6, 7 pictures in a row, is that who you're doing it? Or
that and like people I've dated who have moved on and who I don't want to see them happy.
Yeah. I always wonder why people unfollow me personally on Instagram, because like, yes, I will put up a show picture once in a while, but otherwise it's like,
it's not offensive.
Nice sunsets or, you know, like a beautiful hike I was on.
I deactivated my account for like a week and I wondered if I lost people to follow like because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some people saw that as an unfollow and then unfollowed you. I don't look at that stuff. But
yeah, every guys, if, because I've realized this, out of all the social media websites, the ones that make you feel worse about yourself is Instagram, because everyone's taking a picture of like their best life and it's not real. It's real maybe, but you know, 50% of them are real and it's only in that moment. We don't know what's going on behind it.
Right.
We don't know what's really going on in their head. A lot of times people post to prove a point, to make themselves feel better about what's going on. So, but it makes other people feel like shit. And I feel like crap sometimes and, you know, so, I just unfollow people that don't make me feel good.
Okay.
Dogs make me feel good.
Yeah.
I follow a lot of dog accounts. I follow now I was telling Guy that I follow the Israeli airline.
Yes. I unfollowed one person. I felt bad because we follow each other on Twitter, but it's a guy that literally his only thing was posting selfies of himself.
Ew.
So yeah, so this guy, all he posted was selfies. And I'm like, that's not interesting to me. Nothing personal, unfollow. And then he unfollowed me back. I get it. It's fine. I knew I would lose the follow, but if I had the mute button now, that would have been awesome.
I know.
You would have never known.
Plus, I want to seem like the bigger man. Like, all my friends are like, just unfollow the guys that, like, started dating other girls that you've dated. And I'm like, I don't have the heart. Like, I feel like that shows that I've been burnt and I can't handle them. And now they never have to know.
Right.
Dude, I should invent an app that shows you who muted you.
You should.
I don't know how to do that.
I have no idea.
I know.
I don't know how, any of that works.
Yeah.
But.
Do you have any failures to talk about?
Oh, no, everything's perfect. I'm perfect. Good. Everything's perfect in my life.
I'm balancing the show. This is great.
Yeah.
That's a great no.
Everything's not perfect in my life, although, you know, there are very nice things happening. I have been through some ups and downs in the employment arena.
I know.
As well. And so I feel like I'm kind of back on an up at my current position, but it took a couple of years of being at, like, really, really, really horrible places. And so, I mean, it sounds weird, but like, I mean, I wasn't like a slave or anything, but you know, if you're like in a management position in a company and they literally are like, hey, I want to know who's peeing on the toilet, so watch the toilets for us.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's kind of stuff that, you know, a little bit weird. Sucks. It was a little bit weird. But yeah, so, and then, you know, if we're going to talk about dating, forget it. Like, I don't even know what to do anymore.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I have done, actually, recently, in the last, like, three, four months, I've shifted my thinking, right? Like, because I'm the kind of guy that, like, I'm like, no, I'm like a relationship kind of guy, you know? But I've stopped looking for relationships, and I'm looking just to date currently, because...
I don't understand what that means.
What's the difference?
Don't you need to date in order to get to the relationship
level?
Yeah,
but like one is like, oh, you know, look for that special person and date, and then just date them, as opposed to like, okay, give people a shot, right? Like,
yeah, that's what I've been trying to do.
Shoot your net wide, as opposed to shooting your, you know, shooting a rifle right at the target. Let's cast our net wide.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the best advice that we got on the whole. I just gave myself. Great job, guy. You just gave the best advice on the whole show. Cast your net wide. I love this picture here of the Pop-Tart. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's great. It's from Minted. Get Minted to sponsor this.
Yes. We should just take it. This should be the show picture, is the picture of the Pop-Tart.
Why? It has nothing to do with failure.
I have
There is the chocolate chip cookie is a failure. Did you know this?
Go ahead. Please tell me.
Ruth Wakefield. Say that three times fast.
Okay. Ruth Wakefield.
No, yeah. Ruth Wakefield.
Ruth Wakefield. Ruth Wakefield.
See?
Ruth Wakefield. Yes.
She was working at an inn and wanted to make chocolate cookies, and she was out of cocoa powder. So she had this bar of chocolate and thought, if I'm going to cut this up and mix it with the dough, it'll melt inside the cookie and it'll become a chocolate cookie.
Oh, so she was an idiot.
No.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, please.
So she did that, and chocolate chip cookie was born.
That's it, because it did not melt.
It was a failure, yeah.
Huh. Well, there you go. Should we end it on the chocolate chip cookie story?
Sure. You know, I will say this, though, and we haven't used it for this, but remember how Nezzy would use the podcast to meet women?
Yes.
Like, it's funny how we're, like, complaining about our dating lives. We're like, we're not meeting anyone.
We're doing the exact opposite, you're saying.
Everyone who we've had also is in a relationship.
So, at the guy DF, at @Edin_eats on Twitter, if you want to date us.
No. Stop it. We're not...
Edin especially. You can write up to, like, 280 characters on why you're interested in her.
And no, please, stop this.
Lucky... Why not?
I will say this. I did come up with an idea. I was like, I'll spend the money, whatever. I'll brand myself as this matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these services.
Sure.
And... It's like these services for people. I'll be like a professional matchmaker, but I'll be matching it for me, and I won't tell anyone it's for me.
Huh.
I'll be like, oh yeah, I've got a whole database of girls, but it's just.
But you know what? I think I would be the perfect person for you, not anybody else. Okay, let's do it. And okay, that sounds like a lot of. You're talking about doing a lot of work, Edin. Dude, that's
a lot
of work to put in.
Okay.
It's a good idea on the surface, though. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just gonna marry a warm piece of ham.
Hmm.
I think.
And not in a temple. You're not.
That's why.
Not going to be a Jewish wedding, I'll tell you that right now.
Or trafe. All right. So, thanks so much. This has been an interesting introspective episode.
Yes.
We never talk about our own failures.
We don't. And I don't know that I talked about a lot of my own failures, but I'll come back. Here's one of my best failures, Edin. On the way here, my Waze went bleep, bloop. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be there like 15 minutes early. Get on the 10. I get on the 10 freeway. I'm driving and not really paying attention. And then it says exit at Fairfax. And I said, oh, shit. This is taking me to Edin's old apartment.
Oh, that's not really a failure. That's more like a Waze problem.
It's because I'm an idiot. The failure is trusting technology and not even double-checking that shit. So there's my failure for the week.
All right.
I guess. I'll do better next week.
You could have said hi to my squatters.
That's true. I could have checked on the place for you. Now I know. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And hopefully next week we will have a guest.
We will have a guest. That's a good one. Bye.
Bye.